Good evening. This is Radio Lillooet, 100.5 FM. My name's Alfie, and you're listening to Muse, a show of music and the spoken word. To begin this evening's program, I'm going to read a poem from the book A Year with Hafiz, Daily Contemplations, interpreted by Daniel Ladinsky. And I've decided today to read yesterday's poem, the one for April 19th. It's called Brings Life to a Field. It is not possible to complete yourself without sorrow. Sorrow is a vital ingredient that shapes the heart and enriches it. So endure sadness the best you can when its season comes. That rain that can fall from your eye brings life to a field, and on other days when you laugh, a sun takes birth in a sky you will someday know. See how all the elements are inside of you. See how your soul is a sire of light. But today is April 20th, and we're going to get right into listening to some music. This evening, considering that last week I selected a lot of dark-haired women, some with flowers in their hair, and so it was a rather feminine program, this evening I think it'll hopefully exude more man energy. And considering that we're leaving Aries behind, the month of Aries, and entering the month of Taurus, the time of planting and growing, the earth, the sun, the landscape, I thought it would be appropriate to select some songwriter musicians who are influenced in their music by topographical, historical, and emotional landscapes. So to begin, I've chosen four songs. Each group or singer will play four songs in a row. I've chosen Corb Lund, who is the real thing. He's a cowboy songwriter, composing songs that are rooted strongly in the Alberta landscape. And I like him because his lyrics seem to locate the truth with a sense of humor, and his style always seems to be eagerness on the side, on the eager side of irony. I think he's got a clear, strong voice, and accompanied by a kind of roots rock guitar that makes a good match. So to begin, the first song he'll sing is You Ain't a Cowboy If You Ain't Been Bucked Off.
Well, I was minding my business, holding the fort, and I still remember how you sallied forth. And my mind, it was busy, a warning my heart, but hell, you ain't a cowboy if you ain't been bucked off. Well, the story's familiar, the oldest tale in the West. I fell into love and the bird left the nest. Well, I guess that there's reasons We let our hard hearts turn soft. And you ain't a cowboy if you ain't been bucked off. There's all kind of horses that leave you growling in the breeze. Busted up, broken up, with scars you can't see. But if you ain't been bucked off and been throwed a few times, it don't count for nothing when you make that last ride. Well, the years have passed quickly, and ain't nothing to say. Only I don't feel different, and you've hardly changed. Well, I guess what I will say is I'll give one last night. 'Cause you ain't a cowboy if you ain't been bucked off. Oh, you ain't a cowboy if you ain't been bucked off.
Everything stops, nothing left in the fountain. Nobody wants paper money, son, so you just will stop counting. Can you break the horse? Can you light the fire? What's that? I beg your pardon. You best start thinking where your food comes from, and I hope you tend a good garden. Getting down on the mountain, getting down on the mountain. Don't wanna be around when the shit goes down. I'll be getting down on the mountain. And the truck don't run, the bread don't come. Have a hard time finding petrol. Water ain't running in the city no more. Do you hold any precious metal? Can you gut the fish? Can you read the sky? What's that about overcrowding? You ever seen a man whose kids ain't ate for 17 days and counting? Getting down on the mountain, getting down on the mountain. Don't wanna be around when the shit goes down. I'll be getting down on the mountain. And the power's gone out. It's kerosene lamps and candles. The roads are blocked, it's all gridlocked. You got a shortwave handle. Can you track the deer? Can you dig the well? I couldn't quite hear your answer. I think I see a rip in the social fabric. Brother, can you spare some ammo? Getting down on the mountain, getting down on the mountain. Don't wanna be around when the shit goes down. I'll be going to ground on the mountain. The oil stops, everything stops, nothing left in the fountain. Nobody wants paper money, son, so you just will stop counting. Can you break the horse? Can you light the fire? What's that? I beg your pardon. I think I see a rip in the social fabric. Brother, can you pass the ammo? Getting down on the mountain, getting down on the mountain. Don't wanna be around when the shit goes down. I'll be getting down on the mountain. Going to ground on the mountain.
was then. Two told me they got old time religion. One says she'll never barrel race again. Good Copenhagen is better than bad cocaine. Well, I spent some time with Texas Dave McDaniel, dipping snuff at nine and drinking beer by noon. Well, he'd tell me about the bulls he'd rode in Waco, and by nightfall he'd be howling at the moon. Howling, good Copenhagen is better. Western original, and near the end he liked it sprinkled on his food. This good Copenhagen is better than bad cocaine. Look out for them Wranglers out in Longview with the left back pocket worn out of the jeans. They can get you high up in the Rockies. There are no roads here, there are no signposts to guide a man through this dark land. There are no roads here, there is no history, no written law to stay one's hand. Well, there's a grove of a wagon trail that's headed for the west. There's a teepee ring at the Purple Springs if your ponies need their rest. There's a shepherd out in Vauxhall in the coulees who may know, but the sheep shack's old and leaning, and that was 60 years ago. There are no roads here, there are no signposts to guide a man through this dark land. There are no roads here, there is no history, no written law to stay one's hand. I see handcarts pulled by desperate settlers bent under the yoke, fleeing lives of certain serfdom for this new faith of which he spoke. Trekking across the desert with a
few intrepid Danes. At times I still think I can feel the blood of Vikings in my veins. I hear strawberry roaning, there's bison bones been bleached out in the sun. South the frame and whiskey trade, the antelope still run. Hidden family reasons at the edge of consciousness. Silhouettes of grazing cattle on that old Milk River ridge. There are no roads here, there are no signposts to guide a man through this dark land. There are no roads here, there is no history. Law to stay one's hand. There are no roads here, there are no signposts to guide a man through this dark land. There are no roads here, there is no history, no written law to stay one's hand. No written law to stay one's hand.
That was a set of four songs by Corb Lund. His band is called the Hurtin' Albertans, and the first song was called You Ain't a Cowboy If You Ain't Been Bucked Off. Following that, Getting Down on the Mountain. After that, Good Copenhagen, and the last one, No Roads Here. Before I read from Letters to a Young Artist, I'm just going to read one public service announcement for Skate Lillooet 2015. The annual general meeting will be on Tuesday, April 28th at 7 p.m. in the Rec Center, room 101. Volunteers are needed to fill board positions. Okay, I'll read, you listen. From Letters to a Young Artist, Building a Life in Art by Julia Cameron. These letters are written from a wise, more experienced artist, that's Julia, to a young artist who is full of turbulent self-doubt. The letters echo the many conversations Cameron has had with artists whose lives she has touched with her very well-known book, The Artist's Way. Let's begin. Dear X, I'm delighted to hear that you are working. Not to be too smug, but it seems to have lightened you up considerably. I recognize that cheeriness may not be politically correct and may even cause a certain amount of friction with some of your fashionably alienated friends, but it's still enjoyable, don't you think? I have always thought that the press on artists, broke, neurotic, lonely, sad, self-absorbed, applied more to blocked artists than to the functional kind. I have always found that a working artist can be pretty good company. Not that it's chic to admit it. You write that the more you write to me, the more dissatisfied you feel you are in your own life. Personally, I think it is the shift into actually making art that is changing you, your needs, and your wants. Art is an alchemical process. It transforms us just as much as it transforms the world. We cannot make art without changing ourselves. And some of what changes are our likes and our dislikes, which means we yearn for different things in our environment. Our color sense may shift. We might suddenly want an orange wall or a neutral gray one. We may decide we need to live in yellow. Our environment becomes a piece of art, shifting shape as we do. We may suddenly start collecting things, or throwing things away. We may abruptly go for Zen serene or antique shop clutter. The point is, our tastes will change, and we may need to change our externals to match our internal world. On the other hand, and with me there almost always is another hand, it is interesting to me that suddenly your apartment is too small and you feel you cannot work full throttle without a studio. Are you sure? You may need outer space, or you may just need some more inner expansion. Studios are expensive, and acquiring one might take all your available funds. It's up to you, of course, but sometimes we no sooner get started on a roll with our art, and it sounds like you have, than we acquire an expensive obsession that derails it. The obsession can be for or about anything. A new space, a new lover, a different and better day job that takes just a little more over time to pay for the studio. You see what I'm driving at, of course. But I just had another pertinent thought. Do you really need a studio? Or do you just want one to look more like a real artist now that you're finally really making art? You should be amazed at the shenanigans our ego can put us up to. The acreage we require may actually be inner acreage. Your claustrophobia and feeling of being stifled may indicate a need for creative freedom, not studio space. A lot of art gets made in expensive lofts, but a lot of art doesn't get made there too. Sometimes an artist gets so worried about affording the new loft that he just stares paralyzed at its very chic walls. Think about it, and see if you can't do some work at your kitchen table. Dear X, I noticed that your most recent letter was very chatty and filled with interesting thoughts. Not to discourage your correspondence with me, but don't you think some of your thoughts and theories should go into your work? I can feel you boiling and feeling slapped down, even at a distance, but stick with me a minute. I don't always think our artist knows the difference between talking about work and actually doing it. It's not that our artist is dumb. It's just that we should be using our materials to make art and not just talk about making art. This is why I trust the ditty, "The first rule of magic is containment. The mastery of that allows entrainment." Entrainment of what? Inspiration, of course. It can be encouraged, courted, wooed. You are, of course, already doing some of this if you write in a journal in the morning and take those solo expeditions out to explore our rich city. But one of the best ways to court inspiration is to practice a little secrecy. Don't open up your art to any and all comers. Don't give away the gold, as they say. Instead, make art your mistress and whisper a few sweet nothings, and that's whisper, to your art, not to the whole wide world. You will find that a project can become far more stoked with energy if you keep it a bit more to yourself. Speaking for myself, I am wary of what I call too much boast and talk. Boast and toast, talk. You know what I mean. Those conversations that begin with, "That's very interesting, but what I am working on right now is..." I think it can take the wind out of your sails. It's like putting your project up for a vote, depending on the reciprocity of your listener. A lack of enthusiasm can derail you. Too much enthusiasm can prematurely give you the reward for work well done. Remember that the part of you that creates needs to be shrewd about using its energy constructively. Too many bars are filled with too many wannabe artists talking about the work they are going to do. When? In short, I'm not sure our artists can tell the difference between talking about something vividly and doing it for real. I am wondering, for example, after that exciting night of deep conversation and a few beers you wrote me about, did you manage to get some work done? Just curious. Remember that if you wake up spent, that's a literal term. To be continued after the next set of music, which will be songs by Elliot Brood. Elliot sounds like a person, but is actually a Canadian group that formed in 2002 in Toronto with the songwriters Mark Sasso and Casey LaForette. Influenced by Neil Young, the band, and the Flying Burrito Brothers, this duo began performing in Toronto, where they met soundman Stephen Pitkin, who was first their producer and then later became the full-time percussionist. Like Cor Blund, the songs of Elliot Brood often express reflections about the landscape, in this case Southern Ontario, in which they reside. So to begin this set of four songs, I'll put Better Times from their 2014 album Work and Love.
Yeah. kissed the wild as we walked along. Held hands as hearts led our bodies. We swallowed it down, we swallowed the sound. The sound of two hearts made. We'll be right back.
All right, that was the set by Elliot Brood, a group from Toronto. It began with Jigsaw Heart. No, sorry. It began with Better Times, followed by Jigsaw Heart, and then Taken, all of those off their most recent album, Work and Love. And the last one was called The Bridge, or is called The Bridge, which was on their Ambassador album in 2005. The Ambassador album was named after the Ambassador Bridge between Windsor and Detroit. But I thought it was appropriate to play it for here and celebrate our bridge. Okay. I'll read some more letters to a young artist before we listen to the last set. Okay, we left off with, remember that if you wake up spent, that's the literal term. Dear X, sorry you find me such a wet blanket lately. Frankly, I even found your description of that boozy evening exhausting. Okay, I will grant you that I am an old and crotchety bastard. Your mother might have told you that much. But I also like to keep my eye on the ball. If the name of the game is making art, making whoopee can be a dismal substitute, the creative equivalent of near beer. You can drink it if you want, but it won't have much punch. Talking about making art and actually making art are not the same thing. Have I now said that plainly enough? Let me give you a case history. For 3 years, a friend of mine tried to write a book. Figure out its structure, get a bead on its intended tone, shape it, train it, figure it out. He didn't write a word. Do I need to tell you he was miserable? And miserable to be around? Shut up, I finally told him. Put it on the page. He thought I was a crotchety bastard too, but I found it painful listening to that book get pissed away. Look, I told him, pretend your book is one of those puzzles in a box. For 3 years, you've tried to fit it together mentally without touching any actual puzzle pieces. Write the pieces down. Later, you can scoot them around and see if you've got a mountain or a tree or a tiger. But, he told me, but is always followed by the excuse. The excuse is always disguised as a reason. Fight with me on the page, I interrupted him. Reluctantly, angrily, he began to write on the book instead of talk about the book. He began to lay some track. Pages began to mount up. He got excited. The last time I saw him, he looked years younger. Art is actually pretty good for us, you see. But enough about him. My point is that you and your young artist friends could all go out for a couple or three beers, talk about your art and how hard it is, and never get a thing accomplished. That would be tragic. And it happens all the time. But nothing. Write, paint, sculpt, compose. I don't care what medium you choose. Just stop talking about it and do it. Dear X, thank you for your long letter in defense of the art of conversation. Did I say you couldn't talk at all? No, I believe I said to stop talking about your art. I believe I implied you could use the same time to make some of it. I can see why that made you angry, cornered into productivity again, but you could make some art about that anger, too. You used the word fanatic to describe me. You have built quite a case that I am an impossible and unrealistic taskmaster who just doesn't understand you and your many unique variables and pressures. Maybe I don't. In your initial letter, you introduced yourself as a young artist. We seem to be getting an emphasis on the young. That bit about being too young to have much discipline, am I supposed to think your raging hormones have gotten in the way of your art? That would be a first. Hemingway made some art despite an evidently very active set of hormones. Channeled a little in the right direction, those same raging hormones provide good fuel for making art. Instead of having what you referred to as, I loved your phrase, junk food relationships, try being a little more selective about where and how you spend your time. Try letting a little of your passion onto the page, the stage, the canvas. You might have a real love affair there. You could try it. To be continued next week on Muse. So the final set of music is Steve Earle. We're moving south this time to, I believe he was born in Virginia, but grew up in San Antonio, Texas. And lots of depth here. He started playing guitar at age 11. By 13 years of age, he played it well enough to win a local talent contest. And at 16, he quit school and began traveling the country playing music with his uncle Nick Fain. Despite various and many obstacles, many personal along the way, Steve Earle is still playing and evolving as circumstances and time change. He's still in love with the blues. So the first song of this set is called Down the Road off the 1986 album Guitar Town.
On the blue side of evening, when the darkness takes control, you start looking for a reason to take your lonesome on down the road. If she ain't the one you're after, keep on looking on down the road. Oh, the miles lay long behind you. You have still got miles to go. How's love free.
believe can get my radio to Johnson. Tibbado can have my fame. Just send my Bible home, mama. Call her every now and then. Cause I go no yonder. When no ghosts follow me. There's another place beyond here where I'll be free. I believe. I suppose I gotta come in. Can't ever pay enough. And all my ripping and running, I hurt everyone I loved. The world to turn around without me. The sun will come up. My going brings them peace. Well, I am going no yonder. Where no ghosts will follow me. There's another place beyond here where I'll be free. That's what I made that
gonna go and pawn grandma's locket. Hell, maybe it'll change my luck. Ain't nothing gonna be right no how, 'cause I know I can't ever lose this devil that's dragging me down. Oxycontin blues.
Steve Earle. The last one we heard was Tennessee Blues. Before that, Oxycontin Blues. Both of them off the 2007 album Washington Square Serenade. And to begin the set was Down the Road, followed by Over Yonder, the one that reminded me most of John Prine. That's it for Muse tonight. Thank you again to Jeff for all his assistance. And thanks for listening. I'm going to leave you with Tuesday's Gone by Lynyrd Skynyrd. The tender side of Lynyrd Skynyrd, I think. As a review in allmusic.com explained, Tuesday's Gone is one of rock music's first power ballads, a blend of bittersweet melody, muscular guitars, and catchy sing-along chorus. So I hope you enjoy that. Again, my name's Alfie. This is Muse. Thanks for listening. Sweet dreams, Lyndon. See you next week.
please take me far away. Now feel the wind blow outside my door.